God, we thank you that you speak to us so that we can respond and you can move. And Lord, I pray that these things that have already been spoken and what we're going to preach, Lord, this morning, that you would continue to speak with us, get our attention, and that there would be transformation in each one of our lives. And so, Lord, I ask that you would open the ears of our hearts to hear what you're saying. Holy Spirit, remind us of the things that you want us to be aware of, that you want to deal with and work with and bring breakthrough in. We thank you, God, that you are all powerful. You are loving. You know everything. And yet you are so intimately involved in each one of our lives. And so, Lord, this morning we surrender to you and we say, come and speak with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning I want to look at, just in line with all of those things, but also what I sense God is wanting to do is in the book of John, in John chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles or in whatever form you have, we're going to read John chapter 2 this morning. Not the whole chapter, just verse 1 to 12. And it's the account of Jesus' first miracle where he turned water into wine. And it reads as this: On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each one holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink, but you have saved the best till now." This was the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Now, there's a lot about that miracle, or that account of a miracle of Jesus, that we can look at it with different things of the best and the last and all of those different things. But there are four things that I just felt God wanted to highlight this morning for us. And I mean, we can see patterns in that passage where Jesus and his disciples were, I mean, some people probably freak out at the idea that they went to a wedding, because some people are like, you can't do anything, you mustn't. But really, that's not it. Jesus sets a model of us engaging with the community around us and the society that we live in, and that means that we have to be in proximity with them. We have to engage and live with them, but doing that in a way that reflects him. And so we see those patterns, and we see the fact that there's the best was saved for last. But here, the four things I feel God wanting us to look at this morning. The first is that these people faced a reality. They faced an issue. They faced a problem, that there was no more wine. And you think, well, how does that relate to us? The fact is this, is that you face and I face realities in our lives. That those can just be a basic reality, or it can be a problem. They had a problem, that there was no wine, and that problem was their fault. They didn't prepare. They hadn't ordered enough in. And so each one of us also face patterns or realities in this life that sometimes you might think, well, the situations I'm facing or the things that the reality I live in is my own fault. It's a product of my unpreparedness, or I did something, or I didn't do something, or someone else did something, or it's just that's how it is. And there's this reality that you're facing and living with. You think, I don't know how to resolve this. I've got a problem. Or you tried to fix it yourself, like the picture that Lisa had of that jeans pocket. You've tried to patch it. You've tried to put something on to fix what's going on. Each one of us have a reality that we live in. Like this, the reality is there was no more wine. And your reality might be an issue of need, financial. It might be a relational issue. It might be an emotional issue. It might be provision. It might be mental. It might be what, I don't know. But you know the situations you face. You know the areas where you've tried to patch it yourself to try and resolve it, to try and overcome by your own strength. But here we see in this very simple account, there was this reality that there wasn't enough. It was their own doing. And sometimes we can look at those things and we think, well, I'm to blame. You know the saying, we'll make your bed and so you've made your bed, so now sleep in it. And we can look at our lives and think, well, that's my problem because I've created it. So what's the reality that you're facing today? What is it that's going on in your life? And allow the Holy Spirit to say, this is the area I want to change. This is the area that you're needing breakthrough in. Maybe it's something that you've been crying out to for years and years and you haven't seen breakthrough. Or you've tried to fix it. And in some ways it's like this, where they've run out. The reality was there was a problem. There was no more wine. And so each one of us have situations that we face. And yet, the second point is this, is what they did was they brought it before Jesus. Jesus and his disciples were at the wedding. And it became known that there was no wine. And so Jesus' mother comes to him and says, there's no wine. And we see that he says, don't involve me, it's not my time. But the point is this, they brought it to Jesus. Whatever you're facing, whatever the reality or the need or the problem, whether it's your fault or not your fault, that's irrelevant. Bring it to Jesus. That's what I feel God saying to us this morning is, whatever it is that you're facing, it really doesn't matter if it's of your own doing or of someone else's doing or just by the sake of we live in a fallen world, take it to him. Take it to him. Don't try and fix it yourself. Don't try and patch it the best way you can. Take it to him. He is our Father. He loves you more than anything in this world. He's got a plan and a purpose and delights in helping us even when we've made the mess. God isn't one who sits there and thinks, well, you did it, so you sort it. That's not God. That's not the grace of God. That's often the way of the world, and sometimes it's the way we can feel. But God says, come to me. Come to me. Whatever it is, take it to him. Whatever area it is, bring it to Jesus. Because he's the one who will move and change it and bring healing. He's the one who will help. They came to him and said, we have no more wine. There is no more wine. It's interesting, when you read it, they didn't come and say, Jesus, there's no more wine. Please can you help? And I think this is the way you need to help. You know how often we can face an issue and we can say, and we go to God and we say, God, this is the issue. Please can you do this, this, and this? We think we know the solution. Maybe we've read somewhere in Scripture and we say, well, God, this is the issue. Now can you sort it out in this way? I found it incredibly interesting that they didn't even ask him for help. The Scripture says we to ask God. We to bring our prayers and requests before him. We not to be anxious about anything, but with thanksgiving, bring our prayers and requests before God, and he will move. And he says, ask of me and I will give you. Ask and you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you ask with the wrong words. There's so many places in Scripture where God invites us to ask of him. But it's interesting that in this case, they literally came and just said, there's no more wine. And it's almost like us saying, God, I don't know what to do. There's this relationship and I don't know what to do. It's broken. God, I've got nothing. God, I need, this is the issue. They brought it before Jesus. Didn't tell him what he should do. Didn't try and tell him what their solution was. They also didn't blame anybody else. They didn't come and say, there's no more wine, it's his fault because he didn't order it. And they didn't whine, as in the other one. So often we can come before God and we can say, God, this is the situation and they did this, and that's not the solution. I really believe God's wanting us to say, God, this is it. This is the situation. It might be personal. It might be something in your community or family. It might be something. I don't know what the situations are, but God does. And when he says, invites us just to come to him and say, this is it. Simply take the problem, the reality that you're facing, to him. And nothing is too small to be insignificant. Nothing is too big for God, and nothing is too shameful. God knows everything. Even those things that we might find, well, I'm too embarrassed to bring that before God. God knows anyway. But we do bring it to him and lay it before him. And how do we do that? We do it in prayer, simply by talking to him. We don't have to go through a ritual. We don't have to go through some kind of process. We just have to go to him, because he has made a way. He has made a way that we can come directly into his presence as his children and tell him what it is we're facing. Tell him what it is, the reality that we are concerned about or battling with or find ourselves in. It's simply talking to him. That's what prayer is. And he invites us to himself to do that, so that we could come and talk to him. In a way, unburden ourselves by talking to him. And we lay it at his feet and say, Jesus, this is it. So here in this passage of scripture, we see that they ran out of wine. So they had the reality was they had a lack. Their own doing. They simply came to Jesus and said, this is what it is. And then, interesting, Mary's words to those servants. She said, do whatever he tells you to do. That's true for us as well. We simply bring those things to him and obey. Whatever he tells you to do, simply do that. Don't try and fix it and think, well, Jesus, I think you said this, but I think this is a better idea. See, it says that she said to them, just do whatever he tells you to do. And that's what they did. And we read that they filled these jars of water that were used for, these jars that were used for ceremonial washing. It says they filled them to the brim. Then they drew the, when he said draw the water, they drew the water and they took it to the master of the ceremony. He didn't know what was going on. Those servants knew what was going on. Scripture doesn't tell us at what point the water became wine. We don't know. Was it when they filled the barrels? Was it when they scooped the jug of liquid out that suddenly they realized it was wine? Or was it as they poured it into the goblets? We don't know. But the truth is this, they did what he told them to do. And they didn't do it half-heartedly. I mean, it was ridiculous. You've run out of wine, and this man that has got no track record, no one knows who he is, he hasn't done any other miracles, no one has seen him or recognized him as Messiah, he hasn't healed anybody, he hasn't. So it's not like it's the end of his ministry, it's the very beginning. He is purely Mary's son, the carpenter, invited to the wedding with his disciples. They hadn't seen anything. And he said, fill these with water and scoop it out and serve it. And they did it. Would you and I have thought, well, this seems a bit dodgy. How's this going to work? let's fill it half and see what happens. It says they filled it to the brim. They filled those things as full as they could be filled. What does that show us? When God says something, we obey to the fullest. Not half-hearted. Not, well, okay, God, I'm gonna start the process and see what you do. He said, fill them. So they filled them to the brim. If God says for you to do something, do it completely. Simply obey what he says. That's what they did. For us, we live with these realities like they did. You bring it to God and say, God, this is it. And God says, do this. Simply do it. Don't try and work it out. It seemed ridiculous. It seemed ridiculous to fill things with water when they weren't short of water. They were short of wine. But they obeyed completely, not half-heartedly. It was total obedience. Someone once said that partial obedience is disobedience. The measure of their obedience impacted the measure of the provision. If they had filled them half, maybe Jesus would have turned half a jar to wine. We don't know. But they filled them completely, and Jesus turned it all to wine. When we have an issue, when we have a reality that we're facing, bring it to him, and whatever he says, obey completely. Not partially, but completely. They drew the water and they poured it in. Listen to what God is saying. Whatever area the Holy Spirit is highlighting, or maybe it's obvious to you, bring it before God and say, God, what must I do? God, this is the situation. And whatever he says, do it wholeheartedly. And the fourth is this. When we do that, God moves miraculously. I doubt those servants knew what was going to happen. Because we look at that and we think, well, we've read it now. And if that happens again, then we think, well, it's happened before. God might do it again. But they had never seen anything like that. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were surprised by the supernatural miracle of God. And the master of the banquet said, you have saved the best to last. Jesus didn't just make it into cheap wine. The miracle was the best. The fulfillment or the surprise of God moving was resolved the issue in abundance, in perfection. We so often live and are content with living watered down lives when God actually wants us to live in the fullness of the wine of the Holy Spirit, empowered, full, fortified by him, to use this analogy. But God sorts things out in abundance and with perfection. And so whatever the situation is you're facing today, whatever that is, Jesus is the answer. We sang a song this morning, I speak the name of Jesus. What's that? What that is speaking of is the power and the authority that Jesus carries. He is all powerful. So over every addiction, over every pain, over every sorrow, over every relationship, over every need, over every challenge, over every lack, he's the solution. Over every relationship, he's the one who brings freedom and wholeness. But we bring it to him. Over every one of our doubts, we bring it to him. And we leave it with him. And then we do whatever he tells us to do in simple obedience and be surprised by the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit moving in your situation. That's what I believe God wants to do in each one of our lives. Whatever it is you face, you can either try and patch the pocket, or you can surrender it to him and say, God, come and it's yours. I don't know what to do. And the incredible thing is God speaks to each one of us. God's not going to hold back. It's not going to be, well, you did that, so you figure it out. It's not going to be half. It's going to be, he's your father. He loves you. And he wants you to live in the fullness of what he's created you to live in. And so as we bring them to him, he moves with power. And I believe God wants us to live more and more being surprised by his miraculous working in our lives. Not only in the area of healing, physical, and those things that we see, but in every single situation, even those situations that are hidden, that are personal, that maybe it's something that only you know about, God wants to bring freedom. God wants to bring wholeness and breakthrough and healing and fullness. And he's just saying, bring it to me. And then simply obey what I tell you to do. And be surprised by the power of the Spirit of God moving. God supplies the best. God has the abundant solution for what we face. But, and that's personally, but also corporately. For us as a church, the things that God tells us to do, we simply to do. But not half-heartedly, completely. The Great Commission to go and preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. You either do that or you don't do that. And how do we do that? By whatever God tells us to do. Wherever God tells us to go. Whatever situation, for our town, when we pray for our town, God, what is it that you're wanting us to do? Whatever he tells us to do, we do. And then we see God move miraculously and surprise us by the miracles. That's why I think testimonies are good. And I hope you don't mind, Sally, but we, Lisa and I, spent some time with Sally, who God has moved in her life and things that he's opened up across regions in Africa. If you want to be inspired by the things of God moving through someone who lives in Crawley, go and talk with Sally. Hear that, not that she's great. She's the first one to say, it's not me, it's all about Jesus. But you'll see how simple obedience has led to incredibly surprising miracles. And that should stir our faith. Because some of those stories are huge compared to maybe the thing I'm facing today. But it stirs our faith. Not in ourselves, but in him. You see, these servants, it doesn't say if they had faith or anything. But what it does say is they obeyed what Jesus said. Why? Because the one they obeyed was Jesus. And the one we obey is him. Whatever God says, we do, and he moves. And so let God stir your heart again for the things that are beyond. So yes, for our own lives, starting point of God, this reality of what I face today, this situation at work, this situation in a relationship, this situation with provision, whatever, or in my thinking, or habitual behavior, whatever it is, say, God, this is it. And obey what he says. But also beyond that, allow your vision and your view to be increased beyond your life, beyond our corporate life as a church, to the nations. Say, God, this is the situation. What must we do? And then be expectant for God to move. You see, here, there was a need. They brought it to Jesus. They obeyed what he said. And this miracle happened. An incredible miracle. Whatever you're facing, take it to Jesus. Simply do what he says and trust that you're going to be surprised by what he does. Because it's not about what we do, but it's about him and what he does and the power of God moving. Eve, do you want to share that scripture? There's a microphone there.
This is so weird. In worship, I just felt Matthew 14:27-31. It says, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And I just feel to encourage you guys that you should just go to Jesus. Just keep your eyes on him, because he will always help you. He will always reach out his hand for you. He's got his hand reached out right now. It's always out there for you. Just be encouraged that he wants you to come with him.
She didn't know what I was preaching on this morning. Just if you thought my daughter knew, she didn't. But God's clearly speaking. The picture that Lisa had about the patch, trying to fix it yourself, it's not going to work. Jesus is moving, and Peter says, "God, if it's you, tell me and I'll come." And he says, "Come." And this morning God's saying, "Come. Tell me what it is and come. And then see the miracle." So I'm going to pray. Then I'm going to ask the worship team to come. If you can sing the Speak the Name of Jesus again. We're just going to respond. And first, I just like to make the opportunity for you to respond where you are about personal things. In whatever way. If you need someone to pray with you, come to the front. Someone will pray with you. Or ask someone around you to pray with you. Because it's not us that does it, it's God. But if God's been speaking, or if there's a situation you think, God, this is what, if you're sitting there and you think, and you're not used to God speaking and it feels like your heart is pounding in your chest, take that as God speaking and say, "God, this is a situation." Take it to him. You might not hear right now this moment as to what to do, but this is the moment to bring it to him. And trust him to bring breakthrough. So we're going to do that. We're going to pray and we're going to respond where you are. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, you can... And then after that, we'll come... I'll stop and then we'll... There's a specific situation I would like us just to bring before God and say, "God, come and move." Okay, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are aware of every single one of us. And every situation, every reality, every challenge that we face. I thank you, God, that it doesn't matter whose fault it is. We're not looking for that. We're looking to you, the one who can fix it, the one who can heal, the one who can restore, bring breakthrough, deliverance, freedom. And Lord, I just pray for every person here this morning where there are situations or issues or realities that you've brought to mind. As they lay those before you, God, that you would speak and that we would hear. I pray for courage to obey completely. To do whatever it is you're telling us to do. We bring it to you, Jesus. This is the reality. This is what it is. And I ask God that you would show us what to do. And Lord, that we would hear testimony after testimony of your miraculous working that has brought freedom and wholeness and healing and life. God, I ask that as we just declare these truths of who you are, your name, Lord, that we wouldn't just be singing a song, we would be publicly declaring your authority and your power over these situations we hold before you today. And ask that by your Spirit you would move in Jesus' name. If you'd like to, won't you?